The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, what will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. About 14 years ago, I think perhaps the anniversary date would be next month, we formed a St. Luke church breakfast group. The location sort of moved around. At first it was Woodside, and we had a private room there, which was kind of nice. We then moved to Pied Piper when we no longer had that private room, and the restaurant closed. We then moved to, where are we now? We are at Seville's now. And sometimes sitting in a dining room with tons of other people can be a kind of zoo. And you can imagine if you're trying to do some things as a group. And that was our experience last Wednesday. It was a literal zoo. The format has not changed a whole lot over those three locations. There's not much you can do with eggs or ham or home fries, that doesn't change. Our format is usually pretty consistent. We enjoy laughing. We enjoy telling jokes. Now that may be surprising at the age of 60 or 70 or 80. Perhaps you thought we could no longer do that. Somewhere before we have our meal, somebody will offer a grace. Somebody prior to that, or I shouldn't say that, it's not prior to that. Sometime after that, somebody will give a devotion. And it reminds me very much of something that was in Pastor Marianne's reading last week to the kids and her story. And the kids kind of said, maybe, what was the line? Maybe Jesus is also like that? So the people will read some kind of a reading, a devotional. It may be a poem, it may be something inspirational. And I guess we seniors are looking for the same sort of thing. Maybe Jesus is in there somewhere. So what we're going to do this morning during the sermon period is simply allow you to eavesdrop on some of the kind of stories that people would be hearing at that breakfast. So having said that, listen in.
This is a story about a little boy's meeting with God. There was this little boy who knew no one had ever seen God. He heard about God from everywhere, Sunday school, television, but nobody had ever seen him. So one day, he loaded his backpack with Twinkies and root beer and set off to see God. He'd only gone about 3 blocks when he saw an old woman sitting all alone on a park bench, just staring at some pigeons. Boy sat down next to her, opened his backpack, and started to take a drink of root beer. Then he glanced at the old lady and thought she looked hungry, so he pulled out a Twinkie and offered it to her. She gratefully accepted it and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that he wanted to see it again. So he offered her a root beer. She smiled again. He was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, just eating and smiling, but they never said a word. As it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was. He got up to leave, but before he'd gone a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old woman, and gave her a hug. She gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face, and he asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate Twinkies in the park with God." But before her son responded, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." The moral of this story is, God is everywhere, in the sharing of a Twinkie and in something as simple as a smile.
I just want to say to everyone that I'm very proud that I belong to this church. I belong to this church since 1942, and I've gone through a lot of death through this time, my family, my children, and my husbands, and my parents. But I said I wouldn't have gotten through it without St. Luke's. So now I'm just going to give you a little grandparents quote. "Becoming a grandmother is wonderful. One moment you're just a mother, the next you're all wise and prehistoric." Being grandparents sufficiently removes us from the responsibilities so that we can be friends. Being a grandparent is fun and easy. After all, it's only a part-time job. One of the most powerful hand clasps is that of a new grandbaby around the finger of a grandfather. A grandmother is a splendid mother with lots of practice. Grandchildren don't stay young forever, which is good, because grandpas have only so many horsey rides in them.
Following is a philosophy of Charles Schulz, who created Charlie Brown and Snoopy and all their friends. I'm going to ask some questions. You don't really have to answer them. Just listen to the questions straight through and you'll get the point. First question: name the five wealthiest people in the world. Second: name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. Third: name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. Next, name five people who have won the Nobel or the Pulitzer Prize. And finally, name the last decade's worth of World Series winners. How'd you do? The point is that none of us remember the headliners of yesterday. There are no second-rate achievers. They're the best in their fields, but the applause dies, awards tarnish, achievements are forgotten. Here's another quiz. See how you do on this one. Think of two teachers who've aided your journey through school. Name a person who's taught you something worthwhile. Think of two people you enjoy spending time with. Name two friends who've helped you through a difficult time. Think of someone who's made you feel appreciated and special. I'm guessing that was easier. The lesson is, the people who make a difference in your life are not the ones with the most credentials, the most money, or the most awards. The ones that make a difference in your life are the ones that care. Mr. Schultz has one more thing. He says, don't worry about the world coming to an end today. It's already tomorrow in Australia.
The poem I'm about to read is sort of geared to male species, but it can refer to male, female, old, and young. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to a mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. Some people may think you are a straight-shooting chum and call you a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear up to the end, and you have passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down your pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartache and tears, if you cheated the man in the glass.
If I can steal a line from last Sunday, maybe God is in there too. One of the things that people try to avoid in church is getting drowsy and falling asleep. And God only knows if it happens during the sermon. I'm going to ask you to do something just a little different as we end this morning. I'm going to ask you, as I share this reading with you, to close your eyes, and it's okay. And it may help you personalize the words you hear me read. So if you close your eyes, this is entitled, I Choose You. Think your way back now to when you were no longer little and not yet grown up, to when you were sort of in between. Time after time back then, you heard that word, choose. Choose partners, choose captains, choose upsides. Sooner or later, that innocent little word became painful and humiliating. Do you remember not being chosen or being chosen last? Everyone waited for the other side to take you first. Everyone politely pretended that it didn't matter. But there was a certainty in your heart that it did. They were picked. You weren't. And that mattered, and that hurt. The story of Jesus says something very simple. It says the simplest, plainest, clearest thing that anyone can ever say or ever hear. It says, you are chosen. Now and always whoever you are, whatever you are like, wherever you go, you are chosen. Not chosen instead of someone else or in front of someone else, and not chosen because you are better or stronger or wiser. You are simply chosen, period. Amen.